So the verse again, because the king had shown so much love for you, Lord Krishna will certainly accept him. So this verse is being spoken by who? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the previous verses were spoken by Sri Ramananda Rai. So, how many of you have been following this class for a while now? Who was here for yesterday's class? A few of you. Okay, so I'll recap a bit of the context. So this chapter is called the Beda Kirtan Pastimes, but it starts off very much with a very wonderful leela between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Maharaj Prataparudra. So Maharaj Prataparudra, he was the king of Orissa. And he had a desire to have the darshan and some personal interview with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once he approached Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he says, this is my desire. I want to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the first time he asked that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I'm sorry, you can't. He said, why? Because Mahaprabhu has just left for South India. So Mahaprabhu went to South India and he was there for approximately 2 years. So when he came back, Maharaj Prataparudra again met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and says, please, can you arrange this? Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, I want to ask something without fear. Because he had some inclination that this may be something that will upset Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he said, I want to ask. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, go on, ask without fear. And then he said, you know, this great king, Maharaj Prataparudra, he likes to have your interview. And Mahaprabhu flatly refused, without hesitation, saying that he's a king, he's a worldly man, and it's forbidden for a sannyasi to meet such a person. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, but he's also a devotee. So Mahaprabhu Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried to push Mahaprabhu to convince him that he should meet. Then Mahaprabhu said, if you push any more like this, I'm leaving. I'm going to Alalanath. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got afraid and he backed off, you know, and he left it at that. So the next sequence of verses, we have Maharaj Prataparudra appear, Ramananda Rai appear on the scene. And then Ramananda Rai takes off where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has left off. And he starts to glorify the king. And yesterday, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu spoke so beautifully about the first few verses of Ramananda Rai's appeal. But basically, he's trying to make a case for the Lord to relent and change his position and meet Prataparudra. And where we started off today, in text number 19, Ramananda Rai says, I said, Your Majesty, I am not willing to engage in political activities. I desire only to stay at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please give me permission. So Maharaj Prataparudra, he was the king of a huge region, very powerful, very qualified. And Ramananda Rai was the governor of Madras, which was within the jurisdiction of Maharaj Prataparudra's kingdom. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he had met Ramananda Rai at Vijayanagar, and they had amazing conversations, which was covered in chapter number 8, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, why don't you come and live with me in Jagannath Puri? And there we can engage in beautiful discussions about Radha Bhav. Because that conversation culminated in the pinnacle, which was the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. And that really enthused Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like no other subject matter. So he said, you come and we'll stay in Jagannath Puri. So he wanted to leave, and as is normal, the governor would go to the king and say, King, I need your permission to leave. Now normally this is not an easy thing, just to leave the government service, especially when one is very qualified. But Maharaj Prataparudra, knowing that Ramananda Rai was a very great devotee, he could offer wonderful seva to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Jai Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Jai Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. So he's explaining in verse number 9, so I went to Maharaj Prataparudra and I asked his permission to leave. And yesterday's class, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu was explaining to us that, you know, this is not so easy. And he cited the case of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who were in the service of Nawab Hussein Shah. And they had tremendous difficulty to the point where Sanatan Goswami was even jailed. So Ramananda Rai's case was different. And he says, when I submitted this proposal, the king immediately became very pleased upon hearing your name. Indeed, he instantly rose from his throne and embraced me. So you can picture the scene, Ramananda Rai going to Prataparudra, he's sitting on his throne, and he's saying, I want to leave your service. And the king, completely out of the norm, he gets very pleased. And he says, yeah, what made him very pleased? When he said, I want to leave your service and go to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became so pleased, he got up from his throne and he embraced Ramananda Rai. And then, text number 21, he says, my dear Lord, as soon as the king heard your holy name, he was immediately overwhelmed by great ecstatic love. Catching my hand, he displayed all the symptoms of love. Now this is something even more amazing. What are the symptoms of ecstatic love? It's shivering of the body. The hairs on one's body stands on end. Tears flow from one's eyes. And there's all sorts of ecstatic symptoms. So simply by hearing the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went into ecstasy. Now one may ask the question, how did this become like this? How did Maharaj Prataparudra reach such a state of attachment to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that simply by hearing his name he became ecstatic? There is one description in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the final section, where Vrindavan Das Thakur explains one incident. He said, once Maharaj Prataparudra was observing the Ratha Yatra festival from a distance. And while he was observing the festival, he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing. And while he was dancing, he saw that froth was coming out of the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was covered with dust. And this sight of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with froth coming out of his mouth and being covered by dust left him a bit unsettled. And he had some doubts, you know, because he didn't understand who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So that night he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw Lord Jagannath. And he was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath was foaming in the mouth. And then Lord Jagannath was covered by dust. And Lord Jagannath had Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting next to him, and Lord Jagannath started to laugh. He started to laugh. And then immediately Maharaj Prataparudra, he realized that this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is non-different from Lord Jagannath. He is Krishna himself. And since that time, he became really, really attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had this desire to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was a great devotee in his own right. So they were making different petitions. And you can see Ramananda Rai is really making a good case here, explaining about his devotional qualities. But still Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not being impressed. He wasn't being impressed by Prataparudra going into ecstasy. But then he said something that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind started to change. Now, this is very instructive for us. It's quite instructive for us. And he said, as soon as he heard my petition, he immediately granted me a pension without reductions. Thus the king granted me a full salary as a pension, and he requested me to engage without anxiety in the service of your lotus feet. So what he was doing, he was facilitating Ramananda Rai's service. Ultimately, for whose pleasure? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pleasure. And then he said, then Maharaj Prataparudra very humbly said, I am most fallen and abominable, and I am unfit to receive an interview with the Lord. One's life is successful if one engages in his service. What is significant about this is the mood of Maharaj Prataparudra. So Maharaj Prataparudra, he was aware that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely rejecting his association, his interview and things. How would we normally react? If we, I want to meet a sadhu, and that sadhu said, you're a vishayi, he's a materialist, Yoshita, he only likes to associate with women. If you hear that, I think, oh no, he doesn't like me. And we would give up any aspiration to want to have such company association. But that wasn't Maharaj Prataparudra's mood. Actually, there's one verse in the in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says, "The Lord has descended just to deliver all kinds of low-born, sinful persons. He has even delivered sinners like Jagai and Madai. But it seems like he has made a promise to deliver the entire universe, with the exception of someone known as Prataparudra." But he said, I don't care. I'm prepared to give up my life if I can get. So he said, what does he say? Is it even yet? Oh, he says, yeah, in the future birth. The next verse he says, the son of Maharaj Nanda is very merciful, and I hope that in the future birth he will allow me an interview. So he was thinking, never mind. Even in the future birth he gives me an interview, that's fine. In the 8th verse of the Shishashtakam, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, I know no one but Krishna. You want to say the verse, Prabhu? I'm not can't remember it very roughly. Can you recite the verse? Thank you. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I know no one but Krishna, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly in his embrace or makes me broken-hearted. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So Maharaj Prataparudra, he embodied this verse. So he was thinking, oh, you know, he can handle me roughly. He can make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He's entitled to do that. He's completely free. But he will remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So this is Vaishnav. Vaishnav has hope. Vaishnava has hope that the Lord will always be merciful, because that's the nature of the Lord. Lord is always merciful. So this was the mood of Maharaj Prataparudra. And Ramananda Rai, in making the case for Ramananda Rai, he says something quite extraordinary in the 25th verse. He says, my Lord, I don't think that there is even a fraction of Maharaj Prataparudra's loving ecstasy in me. Now, Ramananda Rai was the topmost Rasika Bhakta. And he is saying, I don't think I even have a fraction of his loving ecstasy. Now, for Ramananda Rai to make such a case, it's just incredible. But yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, you are the foremost of all devotees of Krishna. Therefore, whoever loves you is certainly a very formidable person. Then, at this point, you think, right, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to give in now. He doesn't. So he says here, because the king has shown so much love for you, Lord Krishna will certainly accept him. So what are you saying here? You know, he's shown, done great service for you. He's very humble. He's ecstatic. You know, surely Krishna will give him some mercy. And he never said, okay, you made such a good case for him, I will grant him an interview. No. He's speaking like in a third person. Yeah, Krishna will be merciful to him. He's not giving in. Now that may raise within our hearts and mind, how can Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be so hard-hearted and heavy? There's a verse in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the 25th chapter, verse 268 of the Madhya Lila. There he stated, all sane men within the three worlds certainly accept the conclusion that there is no one more merciful and magnanimous than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And no one is as kind to his devotees. This is a statement. No one is as kind as to his devotees. So Maharaj Prataparudra, we can see, is such a attached devotee to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like being so stoic in the such circumstances. Now generally we see in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Mahaprabhu acts in this way, there are generally two reasons that he acts in this way. The first reason is when he wants to teach a really important principle. And the principle Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making is the association with the opposite sex, or people who are too attached to the opposite sex, is very detrimental. We know in any spiritual institution, when there is some slackness in this principle, when the mixing of the sexes becomes a little lax, you see big problems emanating in those institutions. You see, the history has proven it. There's so much of fall down, there's just so much of difficulties. After the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from this world, we saw that this came to fruition. That there were all sorts of upper sampradayas that popped up. And they were acting like Krishna, and the women were like Radharani. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make that principle. And the second reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes or maintains such a position is to glorify his devotees. And in this situation, he is glorifying his devotees in two ways. The first way he is glorifying his devotees is showing how merciful the devotees are. That the devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. He did that in the example of Kala Krishnadas. He did that in the example of Mukunda. He did that in the example of Junior Haridas. And here he's doing this in the example of Maharaj Prataparudra. Here he's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Really, you know, trying to promote, glorify, and arrange this meeting between Prataparudra Maharaj and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then there is Ramananda Rai, very exalted devotee, doing the same thing. And also, not mentioned in this particular accent, but Lord Nityananda also did the same. Lord Nityananda, he also made a case for Maharaj Prataparudra. So, although the Lord may sometimes may be a bit hard, the devotees are not. And the second way in which he glorifies the devotees, by showing how the devotees respond to such a situation. And we see that Maharaj Prataparudra, he was not giving up. There's one other pastime with Mukunda where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once giving benedictions to all the devotees. And then he came to Mukunda and he said, I'm not giving in a benediction to him. Why? Because he goes with the flow. When he's with someone that are not Vaishnavas, he mingles with them and he goes with the flow. And Mahaprabhu said, I don't like such devotees. So news reached Mukunda. And they said, okay, but Mahaprabhu, when will you grant Mukunda your association? Not after 1,000 lives. So they went to Mukunda. He said, yes, so what did he say? After 1,000 lives. Then he started jumping in ecstasy. 1,000 lives! 1,000 lives! I'm going to see Mahaprabhu in 1,000 lives. I'm going to get his mercy after 1,000 lives. He was ecstatic. Then they went to Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu said, so how did he react? He said, Mahaprabhu, he was so happy. Mahaprabhu said, bring him here, bring him here. They brought him and showed him. So the devotees of the Lord are exceptional. They never go into victim mentality. Devotees of the Lord never ever go into victim mentality, thinking I am the victim. They see everything as the mercy of the Lord. Everything as the mercy of the Lord. Krishna has got their back in every situation. So externally, if it seems that it's bad, it's not really bad because ultimately Krishna's got my back. I may not be able to see it, but Krishna, he's got my best wishes at heart. So the devotees are like that. And Maharaj Prataparudra, he displayed that. And maybe I'll come back to later. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, You know, he's the Lord. He knows what's in the heart of every devotee. He knew what was in the heart of Maharaj Pratibharudra. And just to give you one example, how in his own way he showed mercy to Pratibharudra. It is said that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform his pastimes as Ratha Yatra, he would dance in ecstasy in front of the chariots of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. And the way he would do it, there were 7 kirtan parties. And each kirtan party would be performing beautiful sankirtan. And miraculously, Mahaprabhu would be in each kirtan party. But no one could see that he was simultaneously in all 7 parties. The ordinary people could only see him, oh, he was in that kirtan party. They couldn't see he was anywhere else. But when Maharaj Pratibharudra, once he was looking at the dancing and he saw all 7 kirtan parties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he saw that, he went into ecstasy. And then the devotees, when they realized what Maharaj Pratibharudra was seeing, they told him, you have got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because only very, very few people can see Mahaprabhu dancing in all 7 kirtan parties. And there's other ways, but I won't go into that right now. I want to spend a little time speaking about the essence of this purport. And what is the essence of this purport? What is the main point Srila Prabhupada is making here? Srila Prabhupada is making the point that to become the servant of the servant of the servant, this is the best, the highest position to be in. Once in Mombasa, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture. And in that lecture, he spoke about what he called the Radharani spirit. And he was telling the devotees, what is the Radharani spirit? He said, the Radharani spirit, or Srimati Radharani's mood is, although she's the most qualified devotee of Krishna, although she can give pleasure to Krishna like no one else, she always sees that someone as a better servant. Someone can give better pleasure to Krishna. So Srimati Radharani, she's always putting other people forward. Krishna, here is Haridasavarya Das, and he is such a nice devotee. Can you please accept him? And her mood is that she's always the servant of the servant. And Prabhupada explains that this is the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada says we should aspire to become the servant of the servant of the servant 100 times removed. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. You must have heard that. Srila Prabhupada says, the servant of the servant of the servant 100 times removed. You know, I had one experience once. I had a very long trip, journey, 6 hours drive. And in that drive, I was listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures. And one of the lectures, you know, there's one, some of the times when Srila Prabhupada talks, when he comes to a point, he almost like shouts into the mic. And I was driving, and he was giving a lecture like normal way, and suddenly he shouts, he said, just become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And I almost like braked my car. It was such a profound statement. It was like shot into my heart. Where Prabhupada was saying, you just become the servant of the servant of the servant. That is the position. And actually this is fact. the more we see ourselves as servants of the servants, the more we will relish devotional service. How is this so? Firstly, we know that our pleasure comes from the pleasure of Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, then we become pleased. A devotee does not find any other source of happiness but through the happiness that comes from Krishna. And it is said, Krishna is never more pleased when his devotees serve his devotees. And I once heard a nice explanation between how this is so. One devotee was explaining that there's a transcendental competition between Krishna and his devotees. The devotee wants to serve Krishna, but he wants nothing in return. Krishna, in reciprocation, wants to serve his devotee, but his devotee doesn't want to accept. So Krishna is this quandary now, that he wants to serve his devotee, but the devotee doesn't want to accept. But he sees another devotee serving this devotee. Then Krishna thinks to himself, he's doing what I want to do but can't do. So let me bestow this mercy upon this devotee. He's so wonderful. He's serving my devotee. I can't do it. So let me bestow your mercy upon this devotee. So Krishna becomes very happy because he can't offer the service, and if someone else serves his devotee, Krishna becomes very, very happy. And the second point about why the more we serve, we see ourselves as servant of the servant, we become happy, is because this is our constitutional position. Normally we hear the statement Jivera Saurabh Hoy Krishnera Nityadas, that the constitutional position of the living entity is that he's an eternal servant of Krishna. But what does it mean to be a servant of Krishna? In our sampradaya, direct service of Krishna is not appreciated. We know that once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, many people came to him. They were saying, this person is such a great devotee of Lord Ram. Maharaj, can you please go and meet him? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, okay, you ask him one question, tell me how he answers, and then I'll decide. So he said, what question shall we ask? So he said, you ask him, through who is his devotion to Lord Ram is flowing? Just ask him this question. They said, oh, okay, I'll go ask him. So they went to this big, big devotee of Lord Ram. And they said, Maharaj, I'd like to ask one question. Can you tell us through who your devotion through Lord Ram is flowing? And he said, through who flowing? Not flowing through anyone. Directly my devotion to Lord Ram. He said, okay. So they went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and said, this is how he answered. He said, no, not flowing through anyone, directly through Ram. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he's bogus. Don't ask me to go and see him. He's bogus. Because this is not the Siddhanta. This is not the Siddhanta. And when we are in this mood that we are the servant of the servant of the servant, then we are in our original constitutional position. Therefore, our Vaishnav culture everything that we do is trying to inculcate and maintain this consciousness within ourselves. First thing, we get up in the morning, we sing the Guru Vastakam prayers, glorifying the spiritual master. In that time, not so much even Radha and Krishna, glorifying the spiritual master, the servant of Krishna. And then we worship Tulsi Devi, the servant of Krishna. And then we do Guru Puja, the servant of Krishna. Then we speak to anyone, we say, Prabhu, can you do this? Prabhu, can I serve you? We're calling everyone master. Then we write, and then we write at the end, your servant. Everything we're doing is trying to inculcate this consciousness. Just in connection with Guru Puja. Once Srila Prabhupada was, Gurudas Prabhu was with Srila Prabhupada in front of his deities. And then Gurudas Prabhu was glorifying another devotee, Prabhupada's disciples. And then he said, oh, sorry, Srila Prabhupada. Nectar of Devotion says we should not glorify anyone in front of the deities. I've done offense, sorry. Prabhupada says, you've done no offense. Krishna is already glorified. When his devotee is glorified, he is more pleased. And once someone asked Srila Prabhupada a similar question, Prabhupada, you know, when we do Tulsi Puja, we close the curtains. Because we should not glorify the devotee before the Lord. But Guru Puja time, the curtains are open. How is that? And Prabhupada said, Krishna is more pleased, you know, when the spiritual master is glorified. So that is the principle. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, once he was asked, how many disciples do you have? He said, four. Four? He said, my two legs and my two hands. He says, these are the only four that follow my instruction. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was trying to make another point. And he said, anybody who thinks that they are guru is not guru. They are goru. Goru means cow. So, guru never sees himself as guru. He sees himself as a servant. And we saw that in Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada was giving an interview, and the interviewer saying, so Swamiji, you are the spiritual master of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And before he even said the next word, Prabhupada said, no, not master, servant. I am the servant of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and all the devotees in there. So, this principle of being the servant of the servant is fundamental to our Krishna consciousness. But it's something that cannot be faked. We can run around like a, you know, jackass. Prabhu, can I serve you? Mataji, can I serve you? Can I serve you? You know, because I'm the servant of the servant. We can try to fake it like that, but it's external. This consciousness of being the servant of the servant is something very, very deep. Something very, very deep. And it emanates from a position where we see ourselves as the lowest devotee. Actually, not even a devotee. There's one story. There was a rich gentleman in Calcutta, very aristocratic family, very learned academically, but he was a devotee. So at one stage in his life, when he grew older, He decided that he would retire from family life. He would go to Radhakund and he will take Babaji Vesh. He become a Babaji. So he did that. So he went to Radhakund and he was looking around, and then he saw a very nice sadhu. He said, I will take initiation from the sadhu. So he went to the sadhu and he said, the sadhu, I want to take initiation from you. And the sadhu said, I'm not qualified to take any disciple. But he persisted. So eventually the sadhu said, okay, I will give you initiation, but you need to give me some bhiksha first. Bhiksha or diksha? He said, oh, bhiksha? What bhiksha do you want? He says, very simple. Right? I want you to find one person or entity that is lower than you. I give you 5 days to do this. And after 5 days, you bring that person lower than you, or entity lower than you, then I'll give you diksha. Then this person saying, oh, very easy. Everyone's lower than me. No, because he was a little proud. So he went into the streets. And the first person he saw was a rickshawala. Huh? He said, oh, rickshawala, he's lower than me. I'll take him, I'll get my initiation. Then he thought to himself, you know what? This rickshawala, every day he is transporting sadhus or vrajavasis. He's in constant contact with vrajavasis. I'm not. So I don't think he can qualify as being lower than me. He said, okay, search goes on. Then he saw a dog lying on the street. And he said, ah, there's someone lower than me. I take the dog. I get my initiation. Then he paused. He said, this dog, 24 hours a day, he's rolling in the dust of Raj. You know, he's got so much of association with the dust of Raj, so he can't be lower than me. His search goes on. Now he's starting to think, hey, this is not so easy. So one day in the morning, he goes to do his morning ablutions. He passes stool. He looks down, and in the stool he sees a worm. It's not a very good scene to have mentally. But he says, ah, this worm is lower than me. I found one. Worm. But he's thinking, oh, this worm, he's cleaning up all the stool in Vrindavan, making it his food. He's offering service to Dham. I'm not doing that. So I can't be. He can't be lower than me. So he was, don't know what to do now. So after 5 days, he went back to the guru. Guru said, yeah, found someone lower than you? No. Why, what happened? He related the whole story. And the guru said, now you qualified for initiation. I'll initiate you. You know, so this feeling that you know, I am the lowest of the low. I am the servant of everyone. It doesn't come easily. It comes through deep Krishna consciousness. It comes through acquired mercy. So we should always have the aspiration to become the servant of the servant. As far as possible, we should act as the servant of the servant. Because that is the goal. It's the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. It is what pleases Krishna the most. It is what will make us in our element. When we are acting as servant of the servant, this is our real constitutional position. It's like a fish back in water. The fish is satisfied in water. and we act, that's how and when we will be. Only time we will be completely satisfied. So much more to say, but I'll stop here. And Prabhupada, in this whole pastime, just quickly conclude. So Maharaj Prataparudra, he tries. Eventually they give him advice. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the kirtan, he will take a break. Then you go dressed not like a king. You get dressed as an ordinary person. And then you recite the Gopi Gita. So he does that. When Mahaprabhu takes a break from the kirtan during Ratha Yatra, he goes to the garden. He's completely in ecstasy. He goes, he massages Mahaprabhu's feet, and he starts to chant the verse, Gopi Gita. And then he finishes off with the verse, Tava Katam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kavi Bibirditam Falmasafaham. What happened to my verse? I forgot. Tava katamritam tapta jivanam kavi biriditam kalmasafaham shravana mangalam srimadatatam bhuvigrinyanti ye bhurida jana. And Mahaprabhu says, Bhurida, Bhurida! Yeah. Who's more magnificent than one who distributes? And then Mahaprabhu suddenly says, who are you? He looks at Prataparudra. He says, who are you? And then how does Prataparudra answer? He says, I am Dasa Dasa Anudasa. And Prabhupada thought, we carry so many upadis. I am Pujari, I'm Sankirtan devotee, I'm Kirtan leader, I am husband, I am wife, you know, I am male, I am female. There's so many upadis we carry in our life, all false. The only upadi, the only designation that we truly have is Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. So Mahapraj Prataparudra, he says, I am Dasa Anudas. And Prabhupada gives a purport, and Prabhupada says, this is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. And then he says, Prahlad Maharaj said the same thing. Dhruva Maharaj said the same thing. Kolavecha Shrira said the same thing. That the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness is Dasa Anudasa. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. There's something which going to my mind. I'll try to be clear. Form of Krishna. Devotees accept form of all of Krishna as the highest possible. And then there is a process to attain that. They worship Krishna in that, and they want to attain that aim with Krishna. But there are so many other forms of God, even so-called New Age, whatever. So Krishna decided to limit his own potency and to display such a kind of form, not just to reciprocate with the desires of those jivas, but also he himself wants to have that relationship, be fully fulfilled in that very small aspect of relationship. So in that sense, there is no wrong worshipper anywhere, you can say, because, for example, Madhurya or Mahabhava is seek only by Krishna's form, but there are some other forms which you know don't seek that kind of relationship. Like so many other forms, so many religions, so in that sense, there is some also Jivara Svarupaka Nita Krishna Das, you can say, is the relation to Krishna again. There's so many forms, and then they are fully satisfied, whatever limited this can be, or law according to us. But Krishna is there also in some forms, and he wants that relationship. So in that sense, I don't know if I'm right. But only Krishna sees this Mahabhava, but there's some other forms, so many, and so many worshippers also. So there's nothing wrong. You cannot say this is better, this is so whatever. Krishna exists in such innumerable forms and wants that relationship. There are those who correspond to that. So is that any correct? So of course we can say this autoras process down, autoras process, but there is some kind of inclination toward divinity, so Krishna is there as well. I don't know what you have any thoughts on.
Yeah, what you're saying is correct, Prabhu. Krishna is known as Rasaraj. He wants to enjoy all types of rasas, Madhurya ras, Sakya ras, Dasya ras, Vatsalya ras. Krishna wants to enjoy all types of rasas. So, yeah, you know, there's so many relationships with Krishna that all gives pleasure to Krishna. So, yeah, that is fine.
In that sense, there is no room for any debate or for whatever. In preaching, you just give the opportunity, you share information.
Yeah.
And there's so many different rasas. So
yeah. That's yeah. True.
let me add something to Prabhu's question. Like you were saying something like that Madhurya ras was only in Krishna consciousness, but actually. In my study of different religions, I saw that in the esoteric traditions of other religions, so the esoteric mystical version of probably all the other. I mean, I don't know all the religions, but at least a few that I'm aware of. So there's also Madhurya ras, like in mystical Judaism. You know, there's a mystical, you know, in Zohar, in the teachings of the Zohar, there's a connection of between, you know, Hashem and you know, Israel. So there's a mystical connection there. It's described in the Zohar, and I was heard about in Christianity. You know, the rise of Christ and that sort of thing. So. And Islam or Sufism, I'm not sure, but there might be something like that, or you know. And so Giriraj Maharaj mentioned that in one of the classes here, that in the esoteric tradition of all religions, or at least you know, many religions, I don't know all, but many religions, there's this Madhurya ras. So loving relationship between God and like actually conjugal loving relationship between God and you know the devotees of God.
Hmm. So, yeah, Krishna likes to enjoy many type of rasas. It's not about us, it's about Krishna. And there are many traditions and they express their love to Krishna in their own way. So that's nice. That's good.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Just on the point of Prataparuda Puruja Maharaj, he was so patient in terms of, oh, you know, if I get your association in the next lifetime, that is fine. And also Mukunda Datta, you know, you're saying he was elated when he heard after thousands of lifetimes he would see Lord Chaitanya again.
Mm-hmm.
So this patience is there, but then what to speak about, you know, this anxiousness to, you know, get the association of Krishna or to serve Krishna. And is that not favorable? Or how to see this?
Yeah. That's a good point. I wanted to make that point. You know, we know in the Vaishnava tradition that the only qualification to get bhakti is the greed, lolium, to get it. So there's a few things there. One is the greed should always be there. But there should also be patience. Utsahan nischayat dairyat tat tat karma pravatanat Srila Rupa Goswami says patience should be there. And also Krishna, he has this habit to increase the love. He sometimes makes it more difficult. You know, he drags things out. So the devotees, they are never discouraged. You know, Krishna actually, you know, he gives them the ecstasy. It's all there, you know. But I think the point that we should always consider is that the element of lolium, greed. Like, you know, what does grow? Someone gave a nice analogy for something. So what is greed? I really want a rasagula. I go to the shop, I say, can I have a rasagula, please? They say, oh, it's £2. You look in your wallet, you only got a pound. And you say, ah, never mind, I don't have enough money. Forget the rasagula. Such a person doesn't have greed. The next person, he will go, the rasagula is £2, he only got £1, and he thinks to himself, hook or by crook, I'm going to get the other pound, I will get it, and I will get my rasagula. You know, that is transcendental greed. So both are there. You know, one accepts their fate that 1,000 lives, but I will get it. I will get the mercy. Yes, Prayojan Prabhu, that's the question.
I was just wondering if Sudama Vipra was another person in that degree, where he was henpecked by his wife. They were starving, and his family, and he was a wife of he was the husband of a he was a Brahmin, and in the end, he had to go and see Krishna. He'll give you some benediction. he said, no, I can't. And, but we can't go, I haven't got anything to give him. You know, he's my friend and I haven't got anything to give him. And, he went round begging, and all that he could get was the burnt rice. And but he was so ashamed when he went to visit his friend Krishna. He hid his gift behind him. And I can't remember who it was, but so. He hid his gift because he felt so ashamed. But then Krishna started washing Sudama's feet. And he it doesn't matter what you give me. I'll have it. And Krishna took it. But also somebody took that bit of chip rice. You know, Krishna would accept anything if it's even if he doesn't want it. And it ends with Sudama Vipra. When he gets back to his wife, there's this huge palace there, and she looks very beautiful. And he says, "What's happening here? I'll become corrupted if I accept a gift." And he said, you have to accept it. It's been given by Krishna. Something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Go Premanande Bol.